Good morning. This is Northern Light for Friday, March 29th. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe.
The governor and legislature are pushing off the budget deadline from Monday to next Thursday as negotiations over education and housing continue.
Also, we'll join Paul Smith's college professor Kurt Steger in watching the first bees of spring emerge. A year ago, their mothers laid eggs, wrapped them in a papery ball, and buried them in a foot underground.
Rather than being little grubs underground, they now have wings. So I just saw one cruising, just went past. Once it's sunny, they'll hover like about a foot above the ground, and the males will be cruising around waiting for the females to show up.
Glens Falls hosted a parade for the high school boys basketball team, Adirondack United girls hockey team, and local alpine skier Piper Dock after their championship seasons.
Eileena Donahue combines astronomy and gastronomy by helping us make a snack for the 3 minutes of April's total solar eclipse.
You know, the gastronomical secrets of the universe are right here in the North Country Public Radio kitchen. It's amazing. They usually don't let me in here.
And John Warren checks the trail conditions in the Adirondacks this weekend. All that's coming up on Northern Light. Stick with us.
Broadcast of Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio is supported by Adirondack Arts and Entertainment, an online resource for events in the Adirondack region, covering galleries, the performing arts, dining, and more. AdirondackAE.com. And CECOM Credit Union, serving the financial needs of people throughout northern New York and northwestern Vermont, in person, online at CECOM.org, and on your smartphone.
This is Northern Light. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe. Governor Hochul is delivering a bill to the legislature to extend the state budget deadline until next Thursday as negotiations continue over housing and education. From Albany, Karen DeWitt reports.
Senate Budget Bill, Senate Print 8302, an act to make appropriations for the legal requirements of the state debt service.
The legislature approved one budget bill to authorize the state to continue paying its debts. They then adjourned until next Tuesday, April 2nd, one day after the budget is due. They left the rest of the spending plan, including how to distribute school aid, pay for ever-increasing costs for health care, and an affordable housing program for later. On the Senate floor, Finance Committee Chair Liz Krueger, speaking on Thursday, says with Good Friday and Easter Sunday approaching, there was not enough time left to vote on everything.
We are working hard to reach agreement on billions of dollars of spending and revenue that, since we are planning to go home today with Good Friday tomorrow and Easter on Sunday, it is not realistic that we will get a complete budget done by April 1st.
Senate Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins told reporters that while discussions continue, there is still no agreement on the major issues.
We're in the middle of the middle, so yes.
Sticking points include Governor Hochul's proposal to alter school aid distribution and end what's known as Hold Harmless. That guarantees that all school districts do not receive less aid than they did the previous year. The Senate and Assembly oppose that plan. They want to instead have the State Education Department conduct a study to change the state's foundation aid formula at a future time. They say the sudden cuts would be too disruptive to schools. Lawmakers also want to restore Hochul's cuts to the Medicaid budget, including to home health care programs. Senator Stewart-Cousins says lawmakers want to seek a federal waiver, similar to one granted to California. It could yield $4 billion over the next 3 years and avoid cuts. She says the affordability of health care is a national crisis, and the temporary waiver would help plug gaps until a long-term solution is reached.
It's not easy, it's not within reach, and that's why these creative solutions, you know, are what we use as part of the strategy to make sure that New Yorkers have access to quality, affordable care.
The governor and legislature have also not yet worked out an affordable housing plan. It could include a new tax credit for developers and stronger tenant protections. And they have yet to agree on a plan to crack down on retail theft. Hochul and lawmakers had raised the possibility of a conceptual agreement on the budget before breaking for the holiday, but the hope was fading, says Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie.
I can't predict a handshake deal. I guess I use the analogy that when the governor does a budget and resolutions that we're in the same galaxy. I think where the budget negotiations are now, I feel like we're on the same planet. I don't know if we're in the same country, in the same state yet, but we're at least on the same planet.
Lawmakers, before they adjourned for the long weekend, approved an extender bill sent by the governor. It will keep government running and pay state workers through Thursday, April 4th. Hochul, in a statement, says she believes a final budget agreement is within reach. Last year, the budget was more than 1 month late. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
Graduate students at the University of Vermont voted to unionize this week. Now, those who work as research assistants or TAs will bargain collectively with the university to determine their stipends and other benefits. They'll be represented by a branch of the United Auto Workers. 97% of the UVM grad students who voted were in favor of joining, according to an Instagram post from the union.
Every spring, Paul Smith's College professor Kurt Steger monitors the same sandy hillside on campus for the first sign of ground bees. The date comes earlier and earlier because of climate change. This year, that date was Wednesday around noon, and David Summerstein was there for this Herd Up North.
Come on, bees!
I am Kurt Steger, a professor at Paul Smith's College, and we're here on the sunny, south-facing slope of Essex Hill, here on the Paul Smith College campus. And we're watching the first bees of spring as they emerge from the ground.
Yay, bees.
They spent the whole winter and last fall underground, wrapped up in little papery capsules that their mothers made a year ago. The mothers went and collected pollen from the pussy willows, which are just down the road here, made a little pea-sized ball of the pollen and moistened it with some sweet nectar, laid an egg on it, wrapped it up in a papery substance that they made, and had it buried in the ground about a foot underground, and then the mothers died. So the whole last year, there's a whole community of bees buried in the hillside, wrapped up like mummies in little plastic packages. And now that the snow is gone and the sun has warmed the ground, they've woken up, basically, and emerged into the sunlight, and rather than being little grubs underground, they now have wings. So I just saw one cruising, just went past. Once it's sunny, they'll hover like about a foot above the ground, and the males will be cruising around waiting for the females to show up, basically. So literally cruising. I began doing this just informally as a sort of a nature journal 30-something years ago. Well, back in 1990. When I lived on campus here and I walked by and would notice these things and then realized, gosh, we're building up a nice record here. So I built it into the science of climate change class that we teach here. So we've made a formal trail marking off where we watch every year when these bees come out here, when the ice leaves the lakes, when the red maples bloom, when the spotted salamanders migrate across Keys Mills Road. We keep those records. We match them up with how the temperature has been changing and look for patterns. And basically what we find is warmer springs, they come out earlier and they do what they're doing earlier. And that, of course, is what we're going to see going forward as the Adirondacks continue to warm.
Well, it's really spring now.
That's Kurt Steger, professor of natural sciences at Paul Smith College. David Summerstein produced this Herd Up North.
That's Bill Stokes out of Beekmantown. You're listening to Northern Lights right here on North Country Public Radio. It is 9 minutes past eight. Good morning. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Coming up, we'll find out how a total solar eclipse helped prove Einstein's theory of general relativity. It's coming up in just a few minutes here on Northern Light.
Mix of sun and clouds in the forecast today. Highs in the 40s, mid to upper 40s for much of our region. Northern Light is supported by Adirondack Foundation, making grants to nonprofits that address community issues of childcare, attainable housing, career pathways, basic needs, and more. AdirondackFoundation.org. And the Depot Theater in Westport, inviting all to take a journey without leaving the station. Learn more at DepotTheater.org.
Spring trout fishing starts in New York on Monday, April 1st. Anglers have been able to fish for trout year-round in recent years, though it's only catch and release until the spring season. According to the DEC, the state plans to stock nearly 2 million trout in lakes, rivers, and ponds this spring. That includes hundreds of waterways in the North Country, like the Scroon River in Warren County and Star Lake in St. Lawrence County. The state stocks a few different species of trout, including brown and rainbow trout, ranging from 8 to 15 inches long.
A girls' hockey team in the town of Chazee, north of Plattsburgh, has qualified for a national tournament next week in South Dakota. The Chazee Selects have players 14 and under from all over the North Country, the Syracuse area, and Vermont. They placed second in this year's New York State Amateur Hockey Association tournament. That means they can play in the national tournament in South Dakota if they can raise the money for the trip. They're currently collecting donations through an online fundraiser.
Student athletes in Glens Falls won some major championships, too, in the past few weeks. A girls' hockey and boys' basketball teams both won state championships, while a local downhill skier got first place in slalom. The local athletes were honored this week at a parade in downtown Glens Falls. WAMC's Aaron Shella Levine reports.
Fans and families of the Glens Falls boys basketball team, Adirondack United girls ice hockey team, and alpine skier Piper Dock cheered the champion athletes after their successful seasons. Rain and gray skies kept many would-be parade-goers away, but standing across the street from the Crandall Public Library, proud hockey dad Tom Monks says he wouldn't dream of missing it. Monk says his daughter, Allie Webb, had a memorable season with Adirondack United.
This is something they'll always have. You know, it's a beautiful moment with their friends, you know, and then they'll cherish the moment. They were a great team. They were like 18-0, super hockey team, second year out. And we're just so proud of them.
Retired high school teacher Dolores Konecki was walking her dog down Glen Street just minutes after the parade went by.
This whole thing is just so wonderful, and I'm glad they're celebrating them. You know, the kids, they worked hard and they deserve it, as do the parents.
Junior Kellen Driscoll is on the Glens Falls boys basketball team that just won a state championship at nearby Coolin-Sharing Arena. The victory had special resonance for the city as the tournament departs for Binghamton.
Yeah, you know, it's a dream come true, especially in front of our crowd that was there that night. And then, you know, we're all a super tight group, and so it was just a great thing to do it with this team.
On the next float over, hockey coach Jeff Willis is celebrating the Adirondack United, which avenged a loss in 2023's championship with a victory in the title game last month.
This was all about unfinished business. We came one game short last year, and this year they returned, and we got the job done. So they're really excited for the girls. They deserved all of this.
Center Tekla Fine-Lease of Queensbury and Saratogian defender Alyssa Temple reflected on the moments the team spent together.
I think the best time was just spending the bus ride back after winning the championship, the state championship. It was just like a moment I think everyone was just trying to hold on to, and we didn't want it to end.
Yeah, I also liked all the hotel trips when we were away. We had a lot of fun hanging out in the rooms together.
Glens Falls High School Public Relations Director Sky Heritage says the athletics wins were felt throughout the school.
So positive, especially in our hallways and in the community in general. You know, last year we went through this really intensive process to define our values and goals, and it's unity, strength, passion, and grit. And each one of these athletes really show that, and it's so much fun to have the community rallying behind.
Following the procession, a crowd gathered in Cool Insuring Arena's conference hall. David Steens has been a fan of the Black Bears for six decades.
I love watching them play basketball, man. And this team is awesome. Everybody's asking me who's the best. I'm like, oh boy. They pass the ball. The ball don't hit the floor. They can all shoot. And I love the camaraderie they have. They play hard.
Mayor Bill Collins reminded the student athletes to relish the moment.
But I can tell you that I am not a New York State champion. I got beat here in the semifinals of the Section 2 tournament in wrestling. It was 40 years ago, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And if you don't think that it makes a difference, it certainly does. And it puts you in a new category. You are leaders. People are looking up to you. Please make sure you remember that.
I'm Aaron Shello Levine for the New York Public News Network.
Listening to Northern Lights right here on North Country Public Radio. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. In just a minute, astronomer Eileen O'Donohue answers some of our questions about the eclipse and helps us make a snack for the 3 and some minutes of totality coming April 8th. Then stick around after the show for Bird Note. Woodpeckers aren't the only tree-tapping birds. Look for wood chips from nuthatches and chickadees, too. We'll hear more coming up at 8:42. But first, Todd has a look at the weather for us.
Yeah, a mix of sun and clouds today and probably through much of the weekend as well. Highs mid to upper 40s this afternoon, winds out of the west. Lows tonight in the 20s with the wind gusts maybe up to 20, 30 miles per hour at times. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, highs mid to upper 40s. Scattered rain or snow showers on Sunday with overnight lows in the 20s, Saturday night into Sunday, and then highs in the low to mid 40s on Sunday. Partly cloudy and milder on Monday. Right now we have partly sunny skies, 30 degrees in Canton. Here's John Warren with a look at outdoor conditions in the Adirondacks for the weekend.
On Saturday, sunrise in the high peaks will be at about 6:40 and sunset at about 7:21. There is still deep snow in the mountains at higher elevations, above about 2,500 feet, and in sheltered areas. High peak summits are expected to remain mostly in the 20s through the weekend, with wind chills mostly in the single digits. There is more than a foot of snow at Lake Colton, but no skiing until above Avalanche Camp. White Face and Gore remain open for downhill and could see some fresh snow by Sunday morning. Mount Van Hovenberg will have some skiing, but all other ski facilities have closed for the season. There are still several feet of snow in some places above about 3,000 feet and plenty of icy areas. Skis and snowshoes are needed and carry traction devices if you are headed to summits. At lower elevation, snow is patchy and melting fast. It's very muddy and drainages are open. Stick to drier, lower elevation trails. The levels of rivers and streams are at their normal higher spring levels and expected to rise through the weekend. Streams you cross in the morning may not be passable in the afternoon, so have alternative plans. The Hudson River is just below 5 feet on the gauge at North Creek this morning. The Racket River will be a bit over 7 feet this weekend at Piercefield. Lake Champlain is still about 98 feet, just above Whitehall. And a reminder that this is a more dangerous time of year for people in small boats. Waters are still very cold, and sudden cold water immersion can lead to drowning. Wear a life jacket. All people in boats less than 21 feet are required by law to wear a PFD until May 1st. Those are the outdoor conditions in the Adirondacks this weekend. For North Country Public Radio, this is John Warren from the New York Almanac, online at newyorkalmanac.com.
Well, welcome back to Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio. We're not in the studio right now because we've moved into the NCPR kitchen. And with us is Dr. Eileen O'Donohue from St. Lawrence University, who normally talks about astronomy. We'll talk a little bit about astronomy, but today we're going to focus on gastronomy.
And, you know, the gastronomical secrets of the universe are right here in the North Country Public Radio kitchen. It's amazing. They usually don't let me in here.
Okay, so we thought it would be fun to make a treat in honor of the eclipse.
We need something to snack on during those 3 minutes.
Right.
I mean, that's a long time. You're going to get hungry. You'll be excited. Yeah.
So I thought moon pies. But then
we got to remind Todd that it's not a lunar eclipse. It's a solar eclipse that's coming up.
So
instead, we're going to be making these sunflower butter cups, like peanut butter cups, but with sunflower butter to celebrate the eclipse.
Okay, Eileen, get your apron on. Right.
Any good peanut butter cup has a bottom layer of chocolate. So that's where we start, getting our chocolate ready to melt.
There's the water in the double boiler. Probably not.
We're in good shape.
Eileen, do you want to do the honors with helping to break up the bits
of
chocolate?
Sure, I can do that. Breaking up chocolate? Yeah, that's a skill I actually have.
Into our pot, our double boiler. I'm dropping some of the chocolate chunks. And Eileen's going to stir.
Can I snitch a little piece and try this chocolate?
Oh, yeah, please do.
Now it's warm.
Sunshine on my shoulder makes me happy.
Sunshine in my eyes. It's too high for me. It's starting to melt, that's for sure. It's a completely smooth chocolate ocean in here.
It looks like the night sky.
Well, it needs some dots.
Some dots. Okay.
Any vanilla
That's
sprinkles?
No, okay. But we've got sunflower butter.
Yay!
All right, so what is step two?
Well, step two is to line a baking tray.
Look what I found. Baking pans.
With blue and silver cupcake liners.
Let's get serious here.
Eileen pours a thin layer of melted dark chocolate into each one.
Such an elegant touch, Eileen.
There's nothing better than the sight of melted dark chocolate being scooped into little paper cups.
I don't know. I think a total eclipse might compete.
Well said.
Okay.
Just going to give these a little jiggle.
So these got to head into the freezer to set.
Into the freezer! What is this?
Ah, yes, the adventures that lie ahead.
Open the freezer door, the NCPR freezer. Enter at your own risk. And freezer closed.
All right, so we've got the next step. Make the sunflower butter layer. Now is that time. So we're making our own. We brought in some roasted, salted sunflower seeds from Nature's Storehouse here in Canton. And it's not too hard. It's really just like grinding those up with a little bit of like coconut oil, adding some honey, make it nice and sweet.
Yeah. So I'm going to pour the roasted, salted sunflower seeds. Dangerously and use the entire bag.
I think that's right.
Getting all the honey off the spoon here. I'm just going to have to lick the rest.
Oh, darn.
I think you just pressed down.
Upside down and shake it to remix
it. Shake it up, baby. Twist and shout. Sorry, I'm being very silly.
Oh,
Oh, yeah. Now we're cooking with gas. That's looking good.
Should we test it?
I think so.
It's just beautiful. And now it's a little warm. Yum, yum, yum.
I think the viscosity is right.
Yes. Much improved viscosity now.
Now.
It's perfect.
How are our delightful little chocolate cups coming along here? Look at this.
Oh, those look right set. They do.
Here we go. So, Eileen, you want a spoon of sunflower butter?
Just a dollop.
I can actually smooth. If you want to glop, I'll smooth. Those are technical, astronomical terms. Luscious. Sunflower butter. Okay, so what's the next step?
Yeah, from here we just put them in the freezer to set.
Ah. Now we wait. And we tell astronomy jokes. Okay, so they're in the freezer for a few minutes, solidifying. And what's really cool about this recipe, I think, is that they are sunflower butter cups, which means on one side you have the sunflower butter that kind of represents the sun, right? Flip it over.
And you've got the moon blocking the sun.
So totality means what? It means
that the entire sun, the disk of the sun, is covered by the moon. So that we can't see any of the disk of the sun, but we can see the atmosphere of the sun.
Like the corona sort
of? The corona. Okay. That's always there, and it's actually extremely, well, not extreme, but it's very bright. But we can't see it because the rest of the sun is so bright. And so this is a part of the sun that we can only see during total eclipses. Wow. We'll also be able to see the stars.
Really?
And we'll be able to see some stars that are actually behind the sun. As Einstein told us, the light coming from those stars bends around the sun like a lens and will come and hit us in the eyeball. When Einstein said that light would do that, the next eclipse happened in 1919 and people went all over the world. And Arthur Eddington saw it, took photographs and found the images of the stars were in the wrong place because the light had bent, and when we trace it back straight, it ends up in the wrong place. And the position had shifted by exactly the amount that Einstein had predicted. So this was huge. This was the first supporting evidence for Einstein's theory of general relativity, from which we get the whole space-time is a warped fabric, and it's warped by gravity.
Right.
So eclipses were very important for humanity learning about the universe.
And in order to see this, we need to wear these glasses, right?
Until the moment of totality.
Okay.
Right before totality, we'll see the diamond ring, where the last little limb of the sun is still shining brightly. And you're starting to see the bright corona all around the ring of the moon, or all around the disk of the moon. And then it'll cover up that last bit of sun, and then it'll be dark. We'll see the corona. We'll see stars. Then you don't need eclipse glasses. For those 3 minutes and 13 seconds here in Canton, you won't need eclipse glasses. You just look at the sun with your eyes and see the corona, and see the stars, see the planets, and just enjoy it. Don't pick up your phone.
Experience it.
Yes, let professionals do the photographs. There's going to be a whole flock of them in Tupper Lake at the observatory. So there are plenty of people taking magnificent pictures. Just look with your eyes. Just experience it. It's only 3 minutes. Look around at the crowd.
Listen.
Listen to everybody experiencing this. Look around 360 degrees at sunset colors. pay attention as the shadow comes across. It comes out of the west, and it's going to center on us. And then you'll see the west start to get lighter, and it'll get darker in the east as the shadow goes racing off at over 2,500 miles an hour to Vermont and New Brunswick and all of the people who are waiting there for this moment when they can see a part of the sun generally invisible to us.
And you'd mentioned here in Canton, how much of the North Country will be able to see?
All of St. Lawrence County, all of the North Country is going to get to see this. Most of the Adirondacks are in totality. The edge of totality is right on the southern edge of the Adirondacks. So we all get to see it. The next time all of St. Lawrence County will be in a total eclipse will be $23.99. So if you're making hotel reservations, do it now. August 2nd, $23.99. That's the next time all of the North Country will be in totality. The last time we were was in 1569. So that's 800 years. This is a 1 in 10 lifetimes event. So, yeah, we're going to need a snack.
Let's eat.
Yeah, should we go take a look?
Let's go take a look.
Okay.
Da, 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 da. And the big reveal.
Oh, they're looking good.
Chocolate, sunflower butter.
Dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. The sunflower butter is perfect. Perfect. Mm. Oh, that's nice.
Wow. That is nice.
That's great.
Good thing we got practice, so now we can make a fresh batch for the eclipse.
Now we can really make some. Well, thanks, Eileen.
Well, thank you. This is a great snack for a Tuesday morning.
By St. Lawrence County native Sinclair. That was astronomer Eileen O'Donohue with St. Lawrence University. And she'll be back on Northern Light in person on Tuesday to answer as many of our questions about the total eclipse as she can get to. Send yours in. We know you've got them, and we want to hear from you. Send an email to news@ncpr.org. That is it for the show for the day. Morning Edition continues in just a minute. I'm Monica Sandreski.
I'm Todd Moe. Thank you so much for listening.